أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا رحمة للعالمين أبي القاسم محمد والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين Amma ba'd, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The previous discussion that we had was in reference to the letter that Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam wrote to Hazrat Malik Ashtar in reference to the advice that Imam had given about the governorship or the responsibilities that Hazrat Malik Ashtar had in reference to managing the affairs of the people of Egypt. And in that particular discussion, we used that letter to understand the responsibilities of the leader and also the responsibility of the ones who are being led. And we saw what was the priority in reference to Imam Ali alayhi wasalam's ideology or theology, the way that he looked at this world. What were the important things, and by which looking at it, we sort of understood what should be the rights of human beings. Now, this particular topic in reference to Quran and the qualities of human beings in the light of Quran, inshallah we'll go through that a little bit. But one thing though from the previous discussion that I want to mention is that what is a human being was a little bit of the preliminary that we spoke about, and the reason for that was that if we do not understand what a human being is, then we will not be able to understand all the things that are related to a human being. So the things that are related to the human being, for example, a social structure, the rights that are in the social structure, or the rights of the parents, the rights of the kids, the rights of, for example, the person who goes and becomes a student, or the person who is a businessman. In every single aspect or role that human beings play, and obviously also the role of religion or the purpose of religion, cannot be understood unless and until we understand what a human being is. And there are different definitions that are given. The definition that we took in reference to our discussion was when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angels that I'm going to put a representative on this earth, and the angels had said that, you know, this person, this being that you're creating is going to be on earth and shedding blood and creating mischief. And the angels had actually seen the animals or the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that lived at that time on earth and saw the similarities in the body of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and the bodies that were there on earth. And through that they deducted that because those creations were run by instincts and they were fighting with each other and they were killing each other, that man was going to do the same thing. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed the potential, told Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam to tell the knowledge that he had given to him, which the angels did not know of, when Hazrat Adam alayhi salam showed the angels what was the potential of a human being, they all submitted and they prostrated by the command which was given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in reality, human being is a being that has a potential to be able to become a representative on this earth. And it's not that the representative is needed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it is a need of the creation that are on this earth that can have a being which is in the three-dimensional world that can have the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their soul to its completion or to the extent of completion by effort put in. And that the creations can receive the mercy, the beneficence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this being which is present, which the beings can see, that is has height, width, length, the eyes can see, the five senses can be used to gain knowledge of that being. So in reality, the human being has the potential to become the representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by becoming a representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the human being has certain opportunities or certain rights given, which is for everybody, the right to be able to decide between right and wrong. Everybody has that, the ability to reason, everybody has that. And the faculties that are necessary for the person to be able to acquire those characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their soul is given to everybody. Now if there are any exceptions where people are born blind or people have some defects, that is a separate discussion which we're not going to get into. But when you look in general, all of human beings are given the same faculties, the human beings are given the same amount of potential. They're also given the amount of opportunity to be able to acquire those characteristics inside of their soul. So when we talk about equality, we're talking about keeping in mind what is the purpose of human beings on this earth. We are not looking through any social structure, we're not looking through any economical structure, we're not looking through any of the systems or structures that are based, that are implemented on the people around the world by which the rights are taken out of those structures. So you mentioned that the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is only one authority, and that is the authority of Allah, and that authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is implemented on His creations, and the being who implements the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the representative of Allah. And we have Aima alayhi salam, the perfect beings, the perfect human being, who were given this particular responsibility, and they implemented the authority on Allah, on the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now even though they implemented it and they mentioned it, they implemented it on themselves, on their household, on their friends, the ones who accepted and by free choice and power of reasoning accepted that that authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and implemented in their lives, they were able to build the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by which they became better than other creations of Allah. So human being can become ashraf al-makhlukat, which is the best of his creations, or if the human being does not utilize their potentials, the faculties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to that person, then they can go lower than animals. So all of the rights are actually based on that particular precedent. So when you look at Quran is saying that, you know, I have sent 124,000 prophets for the guidance of human beings. But then it puts a constraint there that the guidance cannot reach everyone unless they have done certain prerequisites. So ذَلِكُ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهُ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ, there is other verses that says that this book is a guidance for humanity. But then it brings also a certain criteria that this guidance can only be received by those individuals who have gone through in their soul and created a power inside of their soul by which they have control over their lowly desires. And those are the human beings who are able to receive this guidance. So it's not that, you know, no preliminaries or no prerequisites are required and that everybody has, you know, equality in reference to everything, that all the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows. He will bestow the blessings upon, for example, even if somebody wants to achieve anything in this particular, in this world, in reference to money or power or education, there are verses in the Quran that says that whatever effort that a person puts in, whether they put in for this dunya or they put in for the akhirah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give to that particular individual. So in that he's saying that depending on your struggle, you will receive the result, or you will receive the reward, or you will receive your goal. So anybody can struggle and try, and inshallah, you know, if they're going towards dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, okay, here it is. If they're going and they're using this these faculties and potential to be able to acquire a status in the hereafter, they are able to receive that as well. So he's saying that, you know, I have given certain things in equal amounts, but these things that are given in equal amounts depend that one becomes better than the other by the struggle that the individual puts in, and the struggle that they put in will determine the reward and the status that these individuals will have. So you have verses in Quran where it says that is an alim and a jahil the same? Is a mu'min and a one who does not believe the same? Are those individuals who build mosques the same as the ones who go and fight in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Anyway, these verses, they bring up the point that these two individuals are not the same and they're not going to be treated the same. So the discussion of rights would come upon the struggle of the individual, the effort that they have put in, the faculties that they have used, in which manner they have used, the potentials that they have is the same, but how much of that potential they have used will determine what sort of rights and status these individuals are going to have in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or there's another particular verse which everybody, I think, has heard it or they have read it, that the ones who is the most righteous among you is the one who is the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or is better than you. Among you, whoever is the most righteous is better. So it does not say that, you know, every human being is equal and regardless of what they do and so forth, and we're going to treat them equally. No, the one who is more righteous, the one who puts more struggle, the one who uses more of their faculties and potential, that person is better among you. Meaning their rights are different than the rights of the ones who do not struggle the same way. Because this would imply the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that if there is a person who is struggling and using their faculties and their potential to be able to get closer to Him in righteousness and in piety, is obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this particular individual's rights differ than the individual who's disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So equality is there, but the equality is there in the potential, in the faculties, but the equality is not there when the equality is not there depending on the potential that a person uses and the faculties that they use that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to them. When we think of equality, we're thinking that everybody is the same, you know. For example, another thing in the Quran is that the man and woman are the same. If they do good deeds, if whether it is a man or a woman, we will give them equal amount of reward. You know, if there is, in that particular sense, he's not bringing gender as an effect of giving rewards or the highest status that a person can receive. But when you look at the rights of man and woman, in reference to the social structure that we live in, then these rights are not equal but given according to the creation or according to the role that these two individuals have to play. Now if the rights are given equally as what are the rights of man and as the right of the woman, then there will be injustice. And in the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no injustice. Everything has its place, everything has its purpose. Everything plays a role and everything is connected to the other to be able to have harmony and order in this universe. And if anything moves even one inch from its place, then this whole order of the universe would collapse. For example, if the earth that is revolving around the sun moves in the orbit and decides or some force is exerted, moves out of the orbit, there will be a chain reaction which will destroy this solar system, and then this solar system's reaction would be that it will destroy the next one and so forth, and there will be a domino effect and the whole universe would collapse. So every single thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a particular purpose and a point by which the rights are determined, right? So the discussion of the rights of man and woman, it comes up quite a bit. We can talk about that a little bit and keep that as a precedent to make the point as well previously that I've made. You see, the construction of the body that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made has an effect on the psyche of the individual. And also inside of this body, he has given certain potentials which are not equal. Because the requirement of this body differs, right? And the role that man and woman have to play, these two roles are different. So when the rights are given, they are given keeping these things in mind. To give you a simple example, there's an 18-wheeler and let's say there's a Honda Civic. Now the 18-wheeler is made to haul, a container of 1 ton, 2 ton. And the Civic is made for driving on the highway or inside the city and to give you the most amount of mileage. And, to be able to take the workload that you're going to put on for the city driving or going from work or coming back and so forth. So now, these two things are both called vehicles. They both have an engine, they both have tires, they both have metal, they have similarities. But the purpose for making an 18-wheeler and the purpose for making a Honda Civic are two different purposes in the mind of the one who has manufactured it. So now when you decide to give to the 18-wheeler that, should also be able to do the same tasks as a Civic does, because you have similarities, because you both are vehicles. You have tires, you have metal, you have an engine, you have a carburetor, you have a radiator, you have an alternator, you have brakes. So you both would have to do the same thing. So, you get an aga holding an 18-wheeler and going, to go get, for example, groceries from the local grocery store to buy milk and bread, and then goes and tries to pay the bills and so forth. I mean, the 18-wheeler is not made for that, and it's not going to be able to do it. And if it does do it, there is going to be injustice on the 18-wheeler. And the injustice that is going to be on the 18-wheeler is going to also, destroy the engine. It's going to have an effect on its body, on its other parts that are not made for this sort of driving. So this would be actually injustice. This sort of equality would be actually injustice. And the same thing for the Civic. If the Civic, you have to do the same work as the 18-wheeler. So what we're going to do is we're going to put a container there, and you have to pull it, and you have to take it, 1,000 miles. But that is also injustice. The Civic cannot do that because the Civic was not made for that. So not that the 18-wheeler is better than the Civic or the Civic is better than the 18-wheeler, but here the discussion is not about who is better and who is not. The discussion is what is the manufacturer kept in mind in constructing the 18-wheeler and in constructing the Honda Civic. So when we look at the creation of man and a woman, we see certain similarities in their body, but they are made for two separate things. And if we start saying that man and woman are equal, so therefore, whatever a man can do, the woman can also do. And whatever a woman can do, a man can also do. There will be a very big injustice on the psyche and on the body of both beings. And by having that, this will, translate, this will seep into the kids, and that generation will be affected, and then the next generation will be affected, and then the next generation will be affected, just like when the Earth would go out in sync from the orbit, there will be a domino effect which will destroy the whole universe. And if this happens, this domino effect of losing one generation and then having the same effects going into the next and so forth, this domino effect will destroy humanity. In reference to their soul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the same amount of potential to be able to get close to Him and to be able to acquire the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside of their soul, and to become the source of mercy and beneficence and forgiveness for the other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we talk about equality, well, we have to make sure that we understand that there are certain things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given in equal amount for the purpose that He has created humanity. But in the roles and the purpose that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the societies, and that we come together and we live together, that we are connected with each other, and that every single person's action affects the other, then the rights according to the roles, they differ. And it's not that because the rights differ that that person is better than the other one. The person who's better than the other one is the one who's more righteous, is the one who's used the most amount of their potential and are using the faculties like eyes and ears and the five senses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to be able to acquire perception, the mind, the power of reasoning, and the other faculties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, like imagination and so forth. Whoever uses those the most, becomes righteous, obeys Allah, then that person is better. Now that person could be a man and it could be a woman. So you see, depending on the struggle and the effort that a person would put in, their rights would differ. Now, this particular idea, in the society that we live in, or in the world that we live in, they say that, other than man and woman, then they come into economics and they say that, for example, we have a system which is called capitalism, and in this system everybody is given the equal amount of opportunity to become, the CEO of any company, to become the CEO of Microsoft, or to become the CEO of, for example, Starbucks, or to become a CEO of Walmart, or to become, everybody has the opportunity to become the president as long as they're born in that country. But when we see the reality of the system, we see that the system does not cater to everyone to be able to achieve what has been told as a dream or as a point or as a goal that can be acquired if you were to try. And the reason why that cannot happen is because the way that the system is designed is that a few, like if you were to look at the world, the system that we live in, equality and liberty is said that, everybody should have, and everybody's right is there, and everybody is equal, and everybody is has the right to be able to achieve what their potentials are there. So we're given opportunity and we're giving freedom so that people can achieve what they can, and there should be no limits. But if you see that 25% of the world's population, which lives in North America or in Europe, are using 80% of the world's natural resources. So when the 80% of the world's natural resources are used by 25%, obviously the equal opportunities that are being said or told or as a mirage to the whole of humanity does not actually exist. Or if we were to say that in North America, 5% of the world's population uses 25% of the world's natural resources, you cannot say that everybody has the equal opportunity to be able to struggle and use their potential and their faculties to be able to achieve whatever that they can. It's not possible. So in reality, in the system of Islam, you are given that opportunity. But you see, because we only have one example of that in the world, where the system of Islam is being implemented to the best of the ability that human beings have. And obviously, you know, there are things that can be done more, can be done better, but in principle, the opportunities are given as such that a person is able to achieve what they struggle for, and everybody is given that opportunity. Now, there might be some people who will disagree to that particular fact, but it is something which you know, can be discussed and can be talked about. But the system that it is being implemented, in that system, in theory, according to the traditions that we have from Aima alayhi salam, and the traditions that we have from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the teachings that we have from Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given those teachings so that human beings can live with each other with fairness, with justice, with equality, with the ability that, you know, everybody has the opportunity to use their potential to be able to achieve what they can in this world. And the criteria of betterment is not kept as such as what we see nowadays. So, because the criteria is not the same as what we see nowadays, you will see that, you know, for example, in the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi Rasulullah and in Quran, someone who's more righteous, someone who's more pious, someone who obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better than the other individuals. That the other individuals are not the same as that individual. Or someone who is an alim is not the same as the one who is jahil. That there is a certain differentiation that you get because of the ability and the struggle that one has done. And it is only, you know, it is only justice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should treat these two individuals differently. Or the ones who make the masjids, who make the centers, you know, who tell others that, you know, just make the centers, give money in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is also a struggle, and you know, just do that and forget about putting a voice against oppression or getting yourself in trouble, or, you know, going against the system and telling others that the system is not based on equality, justice, liberty, on the basis of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. In actuality, because it is not based on that, that it is actually oppression, and that in this oppression all of humanity does not have the equal opportunity to be able to achieve the best that they can in the potential that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to them. You know, they will say, don't do that, just stay at home and do what we are doing and you'll be okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that no, these people, these two groups are not the same. The ones who struggle and fight in my way are better than the ones who stay at home and just make centers and give in my way. Right? So, you know, there are differentiations, there are different status, there are different levels, but these levels are very much different than the society or culture or, you know, the system that is being implemented in the world today. I mean, if you look at the Pakistani culture, someone who has fair skin gets a higher status. You know, someone who's able to speak English gets a higher status. Or for example, someone who has a lot of money and power gets a higher status. And they're not looked upon as equals as others. They're looked upon as different and higher than others. This is not a criteria that Quran teaches us. You know, unfortunately, we have implemented and we have acquired all of these things from the slavery that we have done for 100 years, and still we're still in that particular process of slavery. And then obviously whatever the master of the universe is going to say, we're going to do. And we know who the masters of this universe is at the moment, who think that they are, who actually are just us, not even a speck on the face of this universe, although they have made themselves look as if they are the masters of this universe. So the potential that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to humanity, and to be able to give that as an equal opportunity to use it and with their faculties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, is not just in the materialistic side of things. The materialistic side of thing is that you're able to have the opportunity to be able to acquire the sustenance which is required for the needs of yourself and your family members. But if the society or the culture or the community or the system is such that it does not allow the potential which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to every single human being, that is given the inclination of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be able to acquire the characteristics of Him inside of their soul with the right definitions that are given by Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and 124,000 prophets, then it is actually injustice. It's not equality. If my potential to be able to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually not given to me, and I'm handcuffed in the interest, in mortgage, in bills, in insurance, in being plugged in being brainwashed, in getting myself to the particular point where I can't even think for myself anymore. You know, this particular environment is not going to be very suitable for me to be able to acquire the level and status and the purpose that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created me. So just because you see equality as such, materialistic side, that doesn't mean that the society is an equal and just society. If people are falling in morality, in ethics, in values, if people are, being oppressed to not have the right opportunity to go towards guidance, to be able to achieve guidance, then this is actually injustice. And what we see around us is that, it becomes so difficult to be able to use our potentials to be able to acquire the purpose that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, that we are living in a time where to keep your faith is more difficult, or it is the same as holding a coal, a burning coal in your hand. That everything around us is pulling us towards our animalistic instincts, and equal amount of opportunities are given to our animalistic instincts to be able to, to be able to be satisfied. But as far as our angelic instincts are concerned, as far as our instincts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, the same things that He likes and the things that He dislikes, we do not have the opportunity. If we do have the opportunity, it's a very massive struggle, and in this struggle, not everybody is able to achieve what they should achieve. So in reality, inshallah, when Imam Jamal Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes, humanity will be given the equality and the freedom to be able to acquire that particular status and to reach that purpose that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. So the success of any society is not based on how much money everybody has and what is the middle class and how much of a bigger of a middle class that the country has, although there might be in trillions of dollars in debt, that this is an equal opportunity, society or culture or system. If you're taking the rights of human beings to achieve guidance and to acquire the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their soul, it's injustice. And on a different note, we do that at home as well. Our children's potentials that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to them, that every child is born on the fitrat of Islam with the same inclinations as Allah. And we, thinking that we are doing the best for them, we give them equal amount of opportunity, or we go overboard in for them to use their faculties to be able to acquire the education, to become a lawyer, doctor, engineer. But on the other side, we do not give them the equal right or opportunity to be able to stand up and have enough information and knowledge to be able to fight their lowly desires and to be able to become a mu'min. A child who does not know what the wajibat are, what the muhramat are, what, you know, what are right and wrong according to the fiqh, is a child which has been oppressed. That by the time that the child becomes baligh, the child does not know how to pray namaz, does not know how to fast, does not know any of their duties that they're supposed to know. Or if the child has not been given enough information in the sul-e-deen, in the roots of religion, and that we have put that particular child in the society which actually goes against all of the inclinations of Allah and tries to get this person to go away from Allah and to believe in no God, it is oppression. So the parents who raise their kids to be able to become the representatives of Allah are not the same as the parents who raise a child to become part of the society to fit in and forget about their potential to becoming the representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this earth. And these two parents are not the same. So you see, equality does exist, but in this equality, there are certain conditions which will make the two not equal to each other. And if we say that, you know, this is injustice, it's not injustice. It is actually justice. It is the right, which is the right of the other individuals that has been given. So, in reference to our responsibilities, what we can do is that we should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has expectations from us, what He expects from us, what are our responsibilities in reference to our other brothers and sisters, what are our responsibilities to humanity. Humanity in itself is actually called in Quran as Bani Adam, the children of Adam. In that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made everybody equal. Everybody is a son or daughter of Hazrat Adam and Hazrat Hawa alayhi salam. There's no differentiation. Everybody has a certain level of rights in as being the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everybody has a certain level of respect as being a human being, as being a brother in humanity. Everybody's life has value. You know, in the Quran, which also all of these things that I'm saying are particular different verses in the Quran that gives the same, which gives these meanings, is that if a person was to kill one innocent life, it is as if they've killed all of humanity. So everybody is actually equal in that sense, that humanity has become one as whole. And killing one innocent, it is as if they've killed the whole of humanity. Right? Or if a person saves one life, it is as if he or she has saved all of humanity. Right? And this killing of the innocent life is also in the sense of the body, to bring harm to the body of an innocent person, and also to bring harm to the soul of a human being. You know, there are people who will kill innocent people, but then they're also killing those, the potentials and the ability to be able to achieve what they can, and in becoming a representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and becoming a better person, and becoming a righteous person, they kill the soul. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that a human being dies three types of death. One is the death of the body, and that happens when the soul is disconnected with the body. The second is the death of the soul, and that happens when the soul is disconnected with Allah. When the soul's connection is disconnected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that soul is a dead soul. And the third type of death that a person dies is the death of a society. When the society's connection with Amar bil Maruf wa Nahi anil Munkar is cut, to tell others to do good and to refrain them from doing evil, then that person dies the death of a society. But if the connection is there, lives a life of a society. If the soul is connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lives the life of a soul. If the body is connected to the soul, lives the life of a body. So there's three types of lives and three types of deaths. So if a person saves a person who was going to, for example, you know, there was a train coming and the person was on the tracks, and the person comes and saves this person who was going to die, it is as if he has saved all of humanity. Or if there's a person who had actually gone away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the connection of the soul was disconnected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if a person helps this individual to connect again with Allah, then he's also saved a life. And this life also has the same reward as saving the lives of all the other human beings. Right, so when we look at humanity as such, there are many different things which shows the love and compassion and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala equally as a creation. But then the creation which has been blessed by all of the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, then there are certain expectations. And if the creations do not meet those expectations, and they continue in, going astray, continue in going in extravagance and decadence, and going towards their lowly desires, and killing innocent lives, and hoarding masses amount of money which they do not require and they cannot take with them, and breaks the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and denies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this particular person is not equal. Then the level of respect that this person is going to get is not equal to the one who does not do that. An enemy of Allah does not have any respect. A friend of Allah has respect. Everything revolves around Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everything is given its place according to the system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And as long as those places are where those things should be, or the things are where those places are, then there is justice. And then the road becomes clear for equality. And the ones who struggle more use their potential, their faculties, to be able to achieve their purpose in creation, then they are better than others. So inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the opportunity to be able to utilize our potentials and use our faculties to be able to get close to Him, to be able to acquire the characteristics, to become a source of His mercy, His forgiveness, His forbearance to the rest of His creations. And that Allah makes the coming of our Imam as soon as possible, so we can see the system of Islam being implemented on the rest of the world, and that justice can prevail and humanity can become free. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He protects our maraji and that their guidance reaches us with ease, and we are able to receive their guidance and accept their guidance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the leaders of Muslim Ummah, Imam Khamenei, and that He protects him from the insinuations and the plans of the enemy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the revolution of Islam in Iran and have that revolution connect to the larger revolution which is about to come. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the slaves and followers of the 12th Imam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wal Asr. Innal insana lafi khusr. Illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat wa tawasaw bil haqq wa tawasaw bis sabr. If there are any questions from our brothers and sisters who were listening on the phone, I'll be happy to answer. Hello?
Contributions to towards the cause of Allah.
I think the brother's question, if I understood correctly, is that he wants me to speak about Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam.
No, the son of Malik Ashtar.
Right. I think your question is valid, and that we could have a discussion in reference to that, but I think it would be an injustice to Ibrahim, the son of Hazrat Malik Ashtar, if we were to talk about it in 2 or 3 minutes. Although, I mean, if everybody, I think most of us are in touch with Mukhtar Nameh, and if everybody actually is in touch, they can actually see the contributions that Ibrahim, the son of Hazrat Malik Ashtar, did. And I think that would be a better place to start. There are role models in history who have obeyed their master, and who have given their lives, and who have given their time and wealth in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and humanity is in debt to them, and everybody is connected with each other, past, present, future is all connected. So inshallah ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow us to become like those human beings who have contributed in the betterment of humanity. If there's any other questions related to the topic, would be wonderful, because we have about 10 minutes.
I can add one. I should have any questions. All the lines are unmuted, so if anyone has a question, please feel free to ask. Also, if you would like to email your question, you can do that at selfbuilding@muslimcongress.org. That's selfbuilding, one word, @muslimcongress.org. And also, please feel free to email your questions throughout the week at any time, and inshallah, I can answer them in the next session.
There was a question that was sent out last week, and I'm not sure if my sister who had asked that question is listening today, but we'll try to answer it in the next 10 minutes, and if there is any question motion that you get, just let me know and I can keep the answer short. The sister had asked in reference to what I had mentioned, that, you know, the husband is responsible to implement the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the household. And her question was as such, that what if the husband does not actually fulfill the responsibility and does not implement the authority of Allah? So what is the responsibility of the household? What is the responsibility of the wife and the kids? You see, if a person who is given the responsibility to do something does not do it, the others also have a responsibility to let that individual know that what they're doing is actually not right. So we have the concept of Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkar, which is actually as an obligation to every Muslim who is baligh. And this particular responsibility needs to be done when you see something which is being done wrong, or you see something that a person is, you know, letting go of a good action. Now, the manner that this Amar bin Ma'ruf and Munkar should be done is actually given to us in Islam. There are different ways to do it. There's a different, you know, different way of tone of voice, different time and place. For example, if the wife was, for example, start doing Amar bin Ma'ruf and Munkar, which might be another word for the fights that husband and wife has, you know, they might be saying, well, I'm doing my obligation, I'm doing Amar bin Ma'ruf and Munkar, and the other one can say the same thing. If they happen to do that in front of the children or in front of those other individuals who are not part of the household, this is actually wrong, right? Because the effect of that is going to be that it will be felt as insult, and the kids will be looking at that mother is insulting the father and the father is insulting the mother. The level of respect that they have for their parents will diminish. They will be psychologically affected for the rest of their lives. They will learn in their life that it is okay to disrespect someone else, that it is okay that when we become husband or wife, we can also disrespect each other. So there are many, many repercussions to that. So the thing is that, you know, when the kids are not around and the opportunity is good, for example, let's say the husband, you know, you had cooked a good meal and the husband has eaten and, you know, has is in a good mood, you know, you can bring it up of the things that this person has not done. And you will see that the person will respond differently. And you can let them know that, you know, this particular thing which was the requirement of our household and the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala system had required that, you know, we haven't fulfilled. You can mention that in that particular time and you will get a different response. The same thing if you were to say, when the person comes home after 8 or 9 hours of work, is tired, you know, wants to come home, try to relax, and the first thing you do as he walks into the door that, you know, you're not actually implementing the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you should and you're not doing your responsibility. I heard from Maulana say that, and you know, you should get your act together. You will get a very different response with the tone of voice and the time that was mentioned. So we have to learn our communication skills. We have, if we don't have, we have to learn how to acquire them. This is a separate whole topic and discussion that we can do. But just make sure that you use a little bit, you know, we use a little bit of common sense. Try to see what the circumstances are. You know, if it is time for us to stay quiet, we should stay quiet. And if the time is there, the circumstances are right, we should speak. We should speak in a manner and tone that is not insulting, that it is actually out of love and care, and that we want the betterment of the other individual and we want the betterment of the household. So, you know, that particular way, if it is done, I think the results will be positive. Although, it is possible that the husband just, you know, completely does not do the responsibility and is just a, you know, a tyrant and is just implementing his own authority. And even if the wife has mentioned many times in proper way and you know, and in caring and loving way, and the person still decides, you know, that they're going to continue their tyranny and oppression, in that particular case, you know, I think some help should be sought, and it should not continue like that for days and years to come. But some help should be sought, that it is quite possible that the person requires help, and maybe the help should be given by someone who can understand and knows how to counsel and what the root cause is, so that things can become better. But just taking the oppression and tyranny and staying quiet, that this will go away, generally in my experience I've seen that it does not go away, it actually gets worse. As you can see around the world, that the tyrants are oppressing the people and the oppressed are quiet, so just because they're quiet, it doesn't make that the tyrant is going to stop oppressing or will become better. The tyrants become more courageous and actually oppresses more. But when you stand up and you put a voice and you try to resolve and you try to find ways, the tyrant becomes aware and slowly, if we give a united effort, the tyranny and oppression that is in the world can actually stop. And this might be a far-fetched idea for a lot of us, since we don't really see that ever happening, but it is part of our belief that the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will overpower all the other systems and this world will be filled completely, will be filled with justice and peace. We just have to do our own responsibility. So I hope the sister was listening and that she didn't have any other questions related to the same one. If she's online, she can, you know, she can ask and we'll finish it at that.
Question later, please email at self-building@muslimcongress.org, whether it's a private question or a public one, I can address it.
for the people who are listening online, on the internet, I'm just waiting for our brothers and sisters who might have some questions. So the pause that you will see whenever I am in front of you is because I'm waiting for the teleconference side to either give me a question or there's something that they need to say.
Assalamu
alaikum, Alana. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Unfortunately, I missed a good portion of your talk, but if this is too much out of the range from your topic, then you feel free to regard it. But I was wondering, can you give some sort of practical advice and tips on how to inshallah purify your intention in your decision making and any actions that we decide? What would be a good reminder for us to check our intention?
Right, the sister's question is in reference to intentions and what we can do practically to purify our intentions. I can talk to you about that for a few minutes. You see, before any movement happens in the mind or in the body, there is something that happens inside. There is a movement that happens inside of the soul. And that movement generally, it cannot really be described in words, but it gets translated into words and thoughts. Now, because we're not to that particular level where we can see the movements inside of our soul, we can only see the movements of thoughts and so forth in our mind, which thoughts are also in same sort of on a little bit higher plane of three dimension, but still they're words and pictures. But what happens inside of the soul is not words and it's not pictures, but it stems from there and it gets translated into thought, and then that thought gets translated into action. Now, if a person, first of all, it's quite difficult to know whether your intention was pure or not when you did something, because it could be that inside of the soul the actual beginning of that movement of the thought was actually impure. But let's say you get a thought to, for example, to give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, you gave in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you gave in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the person who took your money did not thank you. So as soon as the person did not thank you, something happens inside and you feel that this person should have thanked you. And this person did not thank you. It was really wrong. This person should not have done that. Now, if these type of thoughts are coming, then we have to sort of recheck ourselves that it is quite possible that this money that we gave in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not really in His way, but we wanted to have someone thank us and say that you are a very good person giving in the way of Allah. So one way to find out is the after effects of an action. If you were seeking praise and you did not get it and you got upset, or if there was criticism done and you got upset, then that means that the purification of the intentions are not there, and there is work that needs to be done. So this could be a measuring scale. Now, another way to maybe do that is that when, for example, when you want to do something for the sake of Allah, do it in a way that people don't know. Right? If we find ourselves to be weak in that, just do it in a way that people don't know that you've given in the way of Allah or you've done something for the sake of Allah. Don't tell anybody. And that way of not telling anybody, you will slowly start to build this sort of habit not to expect praise. And if you continue doing that, you will come to a point where you will be able to do the actions for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala openly. Right? And when you do it openly, if a person would praise, you will find inside that this praise is actually not affecting you. That you're inside, your voice is saying Alhamdulillah. That everything, all praise belongs to Allah. And if He gave me this opportunity, I have to thank Him instead of me getting the thanks. Right? So these are a couple of things, and we could go into more detail, but since we are running short on time. So one is that the thoughts are translated of what the movement is inside of the soul. If we are not to the up to the par to be able to see what happens inside of the soul, then the other option that we have to be able to first find out if our intentions were impure is that if we've done something and in return we don't get thanks and we get upset, that means that our intentions were not for the sake of Allah, it was for praise. And then we can try to correct ourselves and keep a check inside to make sure that what we are doing, our own lowly desires and nafs is not involved. And if we are having trouble, then try to give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in secret, and continue giving in secret, and then try to give it in public, and then if you see that you're not expecting praise, inshallah that this would be a good road towards keeping our intentions pure. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection from our own lowly desires and the protection from the insinuations and suggestions of shaitan. And that he gives us the ability to keep our actions and our intentions pure and only for his sake, so that we can receive his mercy and beneficence in this world and also in the hereafter. Okay, so inshallah, we'll see you next week. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all.